نستعينه ونستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام، ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها، فان كل محدثه بدعه، وكل بدعه ضلاله، وكل ضلاله في النار. اريد الله سبحانه وتعالى، and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness for me and for you and for all the Muslims. I believe in him and I trust him. And I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I agree to all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And by Allah's leave, today inshallah, which is Tuesday, the 5th of Sha'ban for the year 1419, after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 24th of November for the year 1998. And this class constitutes our 35th class in the book Bulugh al-Maram. The book Bulugh al-Maram, which is the attainment of the objective written by Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani Rahimahullah. And inshallah, this is our 35th class, and we have a new chapter today talking about As-Siyam. For those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, you may follow us inshallah in the book of Siyam, fasting, page 226. First of all, before we start this chapter, we would like to define the word Siyam, which is translated in English, fasting. And alhamdulillah that this class coming to be in good time, because in less than a month we be approaching the month of fasting, the month Ramadan. So inshallah this will be beneficial for us. When is the knowledge is too close to the time of practice, inshallah will be more beneficial for us. So the word Siyam, linguistic speaking, means to withhold or to stay away. person who withhold from talking, you call him يكتصائم عن الكلام, that he is fasting from talking, or that he is fasting from touch to touch. So fasting means to withhold, okay, or to stay away. And according to the Sharia of Islam, according to the Sharia of Islam, that fasting relates to abstain, staying away from eating, drinking, intercourse, idle talk and action from Fajr until sunset with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So according to Islam, that there is a sharing the definition in Arabic language, but we have to understand it's not a matter of withholding or staying away from one thing only, involve the action, involve the time, involve the intention. So the intention is something very important to be part of the fasting, to stay away from things which you beg the fast, i.e. eating, drinking, intercourse, idle talk, false action, false talk. Also the time has to be from Fajr until sunset. And if we're talking about obligatory fasting, it has to be during the month of Ramadan, not the month of December or the month of March, like some people, they have certain months which they fast. Okay? We don't go by December, neither we go by March. We go by the month of Ramadan. Okay? This is when we fast. So this is a small introduction about the fasting. And in actuality, there is a lot of reward and the blessings. And the fasting is like a school and like a training program. But this will take us to something else that is not what's in the book that we're supposed to discuss tonight. So I have to limit the book, the class tonight, to whatever in the book that we're studying. Maybe inshallah during Ramadan we can go more detail about the spiritual part of Ramadan and the reward and all the things. But today inshallah we're dealing with hadith number 527. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان ولا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصوم. Hadith reported by Abu Huraira, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given us special instruction that we are not supposed to proceed Ramadan 2 days of fasting. So that means by the 27 or the 28 maximum, if you fasting for whatever reason fasting, that you have to stop, okay? Not to be a matter of continuation or to be like a habit and you find yourself already in Ramadan. So before Ramadan, a day or 2 days, you have to stop fasting. Okay? And a person who have optional fasting, he has to quit before the coming of Ramadan, a day or at least 2 days. Okay? People who have a habit of fasting Monday and Thursday, or they have some days they try to fast like every other day, so those people also, they have to quit fasting 2 days before the coming of the month of Ramadan. The next hadith, which hadith reported by Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه
فقد عصى أبا القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم، ذكره البخاري تعليقا ووصله الخمسة وصححه ابن حبان. This حديث was reported by عمار بن ياسر that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying the one who fast observes the fasting of that day which is doubtful day, indeed he had disobeyed Abu al-Qasim. Abu al-Qasim is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu al-Qasim is his kunya, okay? And there's no anybody supposed to carry this kunya except him, okay? The kunya of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abu al-Qasim, and this is disobedience. The day that doubtful, okay, that it can be a day, the last day of Sha'ban, or possibility can be the first day of Ramadan. Okay? So which, as example, the day of 30th of Sha'ban. So the 29th, you quit fasting already, because this is an instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now when it comes the 30th, and you don't know that this is day of Ramadan, is it Sha'ban, okay? So this is day of shak, day of doubt, okay? And some people, they're so cautious, they consider themselves that they're so careful, they said, no, it's better for me to fast it, okay? You did not come to Ramadan and you did not observe Ramadan until you have certainty. You are sure that it's Ramadan. You could not come guessing that it's maybe Ramadan, okay? And if it's a matter of maybe and you fast this day, that you are not getting closer to Allah by doing this, you are disobeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we did not have sure information that tomorrow is Ramadan, we are not supposed to fast this day. The third hadith was hadith number 529. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, Sami'tu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, Iza ra'aytumuh fasumu, wa iza ra'aytumuh fa'aftiru, fa'in ghumma alaykum fa'fduru lah. Muttafaqun alayhi. Wa li muslim, fa'in ughmiya alaykum fa'fduru lah 30, wa lil Bukhari fa'kmilu al-iddah 30, وله في حديث أبي هريرة فاكملوا عدة شعبان 30. حديث reported by عمر ابن عمر may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith is authentic with all the narration in Bukhari as well as in Muslim. What Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you see it, observe fasting. And the pronoun here referring to the Christian, okay? Because this is the way how we start our fasting, the visible one. We are not talking about something hidden. We're talking about something that you can look and see it, visible, okay? When you see the Christian, okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fast. And when you see it again, do what? Break your fast. That means when you see it again the next month for the Eid, for the feast, okay? Now, so entering Ramadan, it has to be by seeing, okay, the Christian, and ending Ramadan, and ending the fasting, it has to be also by what? By seeing the Christian. You could not get in or get out without this. What about is the possibility, فَإِنْ هُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ, that you have a possibility that is cloudy, that is a lot of dust in the air, that is raining, okay, that for whatever reason, that became like a ghamam and became cloudy and became foggy, became for some reason you could not see it, okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so faqduru lah. And the explanation of the word faqduru lah, okay, makes the measurement, okay? How we understand it? We understand it from other hadith. We bring all the narration together and this is the way we're going to understand. The other one, he says, فَإِنْ غُمِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ 30. That is, something had obstructed your vision to see it, okay? So So make 30 days. That means count for Sha'ban, the month which is before Ramadan, make it 30 days. Okay? In another narration says, فَكْمُلُوا الْعِدَّةِ 30. In another one reported by Abu Huraira, فَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةِ شَعْبَان 30. Okay? So, is no any room in this hadith for calculation. Okay? The hadith and the proper way and the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the sunnah is to go by sighting. And even if you do not see it, nobody else see it, but somebody, the newspaper or the TV or the media, whatever it is, it say it's a new moon or a new crescent, new whatever it is, we don't go by calculation. And believe it or not, different stations, what you call this, observatory, that they sometimes differ from state to state. In the time of sunset, the time of the new moon, all these things, and these things been recorded, and you can go in the library, and you try to find this information, you will find that there is the differences between one place to the other place, from other city and the other state, and all these things. And even if they are right, it's still Islamically, you are not supposed to use this means of calculation for confirming the beginning of the month. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ said, when you see it, fast. When you see it again, break your fast. You have a problem, you could not see it, nobody saw it, so it's not a big deal. Okay? You don't have to make a big commotion and big issue about it. Complete Sha'ban 30 days, and the next day would be the beginning of Ramadan. Because the Arabic month or the Islamic month could not be more than 30 days. The Islamic month is going to be 29 days or 30 days. So today, as example, let's assume that today is the 29th of Sha'ban. Okay? So when sunset, or before sunset 10 minutes, we should go and go in a mountain, in a high building, whatever it is, and we'll be looking towards the west, okay, to see if we're going to see the moon. Because the possibility that tomorrow can be the beginning of Ramadan or the 30th of Sha'ban. This is the only two possibilities there. So we went, we did our best, we looked, we didn't see anything. And even if you did not see it, but exists, but you did not see it, because the clouds, you are not responsible about what you don't see. The Prophet said, you don't see it because it's cloudy. That means from this hadith to understand that there is possibility that is there, but for us we could not see it, it still is no problem. Go ahead and complete Sha'ban, how many days? 30 days, okay? And the next day will be the beginning of Ramadan, and you start your fast after completing Sha'ban 30 days.
Okay, so like, you see the question at night, should you start fasting at night or
the next day? That means when Fajr comes, okay, this will be your beginning. Because the night comes before the day. So when we see the question that is telling us that tomorrow you start fasting, okay? And tomorrow, that means you get up before Fajr, you eat your meal, which you call Suhoor, and you start your day with fasting, okay? In page number 227, and hadith number 530, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال تراءى الناس الهلال فأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أني رأيته فصام وأمر الناس بصيامه رواه أبو داود وصححه الحاكم وابن حبان. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar. This hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and al-Hakim and Ibn Hibban. And the hadith is authentic. And Ibn Umar reporting this hadith saying that the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went to see or to sight the moon. Okay, the new moon. So I had informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I saw it. Okay? So Ibn Umar saw it. The community or delegation from the community went out to sight the moon. The only one saw it, Ibn Umar. He maybe was in different location. So he came and informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he did? So he commanded the rest of the Muslims to fast. And from this hadith, we understand that one witness, one Muslim, just witness is enough. Okay, does not have to be the whole community. Does not have to be seven people. Does not have to be two people. Okay, as long we know that this person is not a fasik, he's not a liar, he's not a sinner. That the person is concerned about his salah, is concerned about his fasting, and he come and inform the imam of the community. So the job of the imam to inform the rest of the community and accept the witness of this Muslim. And is no need for the whole Muslims to see the new moon. See? And this shows you that there is possibility that one person can see it while the rest did not see it. And that for the Muslims to go by the word of the imam in the community or the person in charge of the affairs of the Muslim when he announced to them that tomorrow Ramadan, this is. This too much questions and who saw it and could not be because the calendar shows that could not be tomorrow Ramadan and in the TV says that it's full dark and all the stuff. This is, okay? The imam of the community, this is the responsibility to accept the witness of this person. He announced it to the community. Everybody go and do it. And this also from this, that we understand that it's mustahab for the Muslim to make effort towards sighting the moon. Towards sighting the moon. And this will be something good, that people in each locality should be trained and have some kind of experience to learn when and what day, which direction to go and to try to see the moon for the beginning of their fasting, inshallah. Hadith number 531, the hadith is weak, so we leave it alone. Hadith number 532. وعن حفصة أم المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من لم يبيت الصيام قبل الفجر فلا صيام له. رواه الخمسة ومال الترمذي والنسائي إلى ترجيح وقفه وصححه مرفوعا ابن خزيمة وابن حبان. Anyway, the hadith is authentic. The hadith reported by Hafsa, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the meaning is, that whosoever doesn't make intention in the previous night, okay, night extended until Fajr, for that day, okay, there is no fasting for him. And the fasting is one of the obligations, same thing like salah. So any obligation in Islam requires intention, okay? You could not do any ibadah, form of worship, without intention. And the intention is in the heart. It has nothing to do with the tongue. You are not going to inform Allah that I'm going to do this, because Allah knows what's in your heart already. It's for you to bring it present in your heart, in your mind, that I'm going to observe the fasting of Ramadan. I'm going to make Salat of Zuhr. Okay? You don't to enter the Salah like this. You don't know all what you, that I'm making Salah. Turn the fence of the night and open a couple of windows. The back fence only. Not the other ones. Alright? So, the intention is in the heart. The place of the intention is the heart. It has nothing to do with the saying, with the tongue. And this is one of the innovations that some people, as example, say, I intend to do such and such and such. This is not the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before Fajr, okay, that you have to have this intention in your heart and your mind. You don't do the heart that I'm observing the fast of tomorrow as obligation for me, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something very important that we have to pay attention to it. The intention is required for all our deeds. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت دخل علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم فقال هل عندكم شيء؟ قلنا لا. قال فإني إذا صائم. ثم أتانا يوما آخر فقلنا أهدي لنا حي. فقال أرني فلقد أصبحت صائما فأكل. رواه مسلم. And this one of the things, the action of the Prophet ﷺ to prove what I just was talking about, that reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah ﷺ entered the house, one of his houses, and he said, do you have anything for me to eat? He said, no. He said, okay, I observe my fasting. Another day he came, and the Prophet ﷺ, when he entered the house, we said to him, somebody had gifted us, gave us as a gift, special food made out of flour and milk and things like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, show it to me, I had observed my fasting. So, and he started eating from it. Okay? This because it was optional fasting. And when his family informed him that we have some food, he already had thought about observing the fasting of this day, so, and when he found there is food there, so he decided to break his fast, okay? And there's nothing wrong with this. Next hadith was hadith number 534. وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر. متفق عليه. Hadith is reported by Sahl ibn Sa'd. The hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that my community continuing to be in good condition as long as they hasten with breaking the fast. Okay? And this does not mean that a person will hasten the fast that before the Azan or 5 minutes or before sunset you could not do this. But it means that you don't delay it. And as soon as you hear the Muazzin, you break the fast. Some people, they have the habit, they wait until the Muazzin say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay? Or until he finishes the Azan completely. You don't have to, okay? And this also, it shows us the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he informing us about what is beneficial and what's good for us, because he concerned about us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So breaking the fast have to be immediately after sunset. There's other people who wait and say, okay, let's make sure that Maghrib in until this red color in the sky disappears. Okay, we don't do this. If sunset, sunset. This portion of the hadith, all the way in the end, in the same page 228, this addition, which for collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi is weak. Page number 229, hadith number 535, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Anas, son of Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as his father. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, as well Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم recommended السحور. He recommended السحور. And the suhoor is a meal which he eat it before Fajr. Okay? The suhoor is the meal which he eat it before you start your fast. And it has to be before dawn. Okay? And Rasulullah ﷺ, he strongly recommended for us to take this meal, and he said there is barakah in it. There is blessings in it. Okay? In different ways. Okay? The blessings can be for you to be up during this time, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that this is a blessed time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven, okay, and that Allah calls and He says, is anybody seeking forgiveness, I'll forgive him. Is anybody seeking repentance, I will. All these things, okay. It's a good time for prayer, it's a good time for istighfar, for zikr, for remembrance of Allah. Also is a barakah and a blessing because you eat it. And this will strengthen you and give you like help during your day. There is a difference between somebody observes the fasting without eating sahur and somebody has sahur. It will help, okay? So there is a lot of blessings. And also, if you ask to take your sahur, that means inshallah you're going to make your salah in time, okay? Or at least you're going to make it as early as it comes. And this is one of the good things, that believing to Allah, you do the salah as soon as it comes, okay? So by waking up and taking the sahur, there is a barakah, there is a blessing in different ways and different means, which even we could not count them, Allah knows best. But it is enough that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there is blessings. So we should try to take advantage of the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we take sahur, inshallah. The sahur can be a small meal, can be a glass of milk, can be a big meal, doesn't whatever available, can be a piece of fruit. Even if it's nothing except to eat in a few days, it's still good. Yes.
I just wanted to go back. When breaking the fast, you know, as soon as the sun sets, we break the fast. But, you know, the sunset should be in the horizon, not behind buildings, you know. Make sure that we understood that.
Yeah, for sure. Sunsets have to be there. It's on the right.
You can't see the sun and the sky still looks red, now you're going to eat. You know, you have to be sure. I mean, if you're not sure that it's behind the horizon, you know, you have to wait.
Yes, otherwise everybody will go, you understand, feel angry, go behind one of these buildings and say, oh, I could not see the sun. Okay? Especially if you go in a busy place like New York, I'm not going to see the sun. Okay, with all these tall buildings there. Okay? But alhamdulillah, in Colombia you don't have too many, so you're going to be careful. Yeah? You have no choice except to wait until the sunset and the horizon. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Next hadith, which is hadith number 536, reported by Salman. We're going to leave it alone because the hadith is weak. Hadith number 537, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الوصال فقال رجل من المسلمين فإنك تواصل يا رسول الله قال وأيكم مثلي إني أبيت يطعمني ربي ويسقين فلما أبوا أن ينتهوا عن الوصال واصل بهم يوما ثم يوما ثم رأوا الهلال فقال لو تأخر الهلال لجبتكم كالمنك لهم حين أبوا أن ينتهوا متفق عليه. حديث in the collection of الإمام البخاري as well as الإمام مسلم رحمة الله عليهما. The hadith is authentic and the hadith reported by أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه بليز with him that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had forbid the صحابة to make وصال, that means a continuation of fasting without breaking from day to day to day. This is called wisal, okay? Like a connection, some continuously, with no break, no stop. So when Maghrib comes, you don't take water, you don't take this, you don't take nothing, and keep going like this for the next day, the next day, the next day, okay? This is called wisal, okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this. And he forbade the Sahaba, or discouraged the Sahaba, okay, let me say discourage. So the question and say, oh Prophet of Allah, you telling us not to do it while you doing it. He say, you are not like me, okay, you are not like me. You during the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me to drink and to eat. Okay? So it seems, Allah knows best, is that the Sahaba, they did not understand that the Prophet ﷺ forbidding them, but he's like discouraging them. Okay? Therefore, that some of them, they continued, they did this. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ, he concerned. He's so merciful, so kind. He don't want any hardship on the people, on the Muslims. And he would like to have the easy way for them. Okay? So, when they did not listen to this, and the Prophet ﷺ told them, I'm doing it because I'm not like you. I have a special way with Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he feed me and give me to drink in a way that you could not know. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened me. Okay? And how Allah gives me to eat and to drink in a way that you could not. You don't have this special way. So when they did not stop doing this, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took them for one day, to a second day, to a second, like this. But what happened? The new Christian for Ramadan came, so, for the new month came, so he stopped. And he said, it's only I stop because the new month has stopped. Otherwise, that I will go for more, so you can know that you are not like me, and you don't have the same strength and the same way, and for you to give up things when I tell you not to do it. Okay? And this hadith, it shows us that the imam of the Muslims, okay, I'm not talking about local imam of a community like us, okay, that he has the right to punish or admonish his community by making things hard on them when they did not listen to the admonition or the correction. Okay? And we see this in the end of the hadith that the Prophet went for one day and another day and after this, and he said, he told them, if the moon didn't show up, I will go for more to let you know that you shouldn't do this, and that I'm not going to be able to beat me or to be equal to me in what I'm doing. Okay? Yes. No. And the hadith is authentic. And they said the hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. So from this hadith we understand that continuously fasting is one of the speciality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for us to do it. And that to do it is makruh. Is disliked. Alright? And also shows us that we are not supposed to exaggerate in our deen and try to go to the limits, go to the extreme and make things difficult in ourselves. Next hadith, which hadith number 538, page number 230, وعنه, that means the same reporter, which Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. رواه البخاري. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Abu Dawood. And the hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is, that who doesn't give up false talk and action, and acting in a manner of jahiliyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need that he should abandon his food and drink. Okay? This hadith is very important because it shows us that fasting is not only a matter of staying away from eating and drinking. And also it's showing us what actually fasting for. Fasting is to discipline us, to teach us, as I said in the beginning of the class, that fasting is a school, is a training program. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in Quran by saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That fasting then prescribed for you has been prescribed for just before you, that you may learn self-conscious, or God-conscious, or self-control, taqwa, God-fearing. So the fasting is for purpose, is a vehicle to reach and to lift you up to the level of taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and feeling the presence of Allah in your life at all moments, okay? So it's not a matter of leaving food and drink. We are not here in a diet program, okay? Try to lose weight. But we here try to develop taqwa and iman, okay? Therefore, in the moment that you stay away from the food and drink, you have to stay away also from the harm action, the bad talk, and anything that is not supposed to be done, that's been forbidden by Islam or discouraged by Islam. Okay? And this will give you the benefit of the fasting. This hadith, hadith number 539, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل وهو صائم ويباشر وهو صائم ولكنه كان أملككم لإربه متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم وزاد في رواية في رمضان. Hadith number 539 reported by Aisha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith in the collection of Al-Imam Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss and touch his wife, okay, while he was fasting. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have more control, okay, over his sexual desire. Okay? So, in another narration say, fi Ramadan, that he used to do this during Ramadan. And from this hadith, the hadith is authentic, number one. And al-mubashara, that means for a husband to touch his wife at any part in her body, okay, and a taqbeel, which means kissing, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this while he's fasting. So we understand from this that kissing and touching, it doesn't break the fast, okay. And also we see from this hadith that relating information that you may think that embarrassing for the purpose of teaching and educating the community, okay? Because here the wife is telling, okay? Nobody saw this. She's the one that the Prophet ﷺ has kissed her. And she relating to us about this, what you may consider like a private business, but she related to us because this is beneficial for the Muslim community to learn about these things. And from this hadith also, from the understanding of Aisha, that we understand it is better for the person who does not have control over his desire that he leave this action alone from kissing and touching. If he thinks that he could not control his emotion and it may lead him for something else, that he should avoid this. So we understand from this hadith the permissibility of doing this during the fasting and even especially in Ramadan. Hadith number 540, page 230, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو محرم واحتجم وهو صائم، رواه البخاري. في الحديث reported by ابن and it's still used until now in different places of Arabia. So the hadith of Ibn Abbas is showing us the permissibility of doing this while you are in Ihram during Hajj, and also the permissibility of doing this while you are fasting, that this doesn't spoil your fasting, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 541 reported by Shaddad ibn Aus رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستر. Stop please with your pen. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتى على رجل بالبقيع وهو يحتجم في رمضان فقال أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم، رواه الخمسة إلا الترمذي والصحاح أحمد بن خزيمة وابن حبان. The hadith is authentic, okay? And the explanation of the hadith, that means they did the action which is not supposed to be done during Ramadan, because you know by taking the blood out, it can weaken the person, okay? So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that they had spoiled their fasting, or that means they did something that it shouldn't be done during the fasting. But we see the other hadith which is more authentic, and the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he himself, he, this been done to him while he was fasting. Okay? Next hadith, 542, page number 231, we leave the hadith alone. Hadith is munkar, or evil, or bad, or whatever it is, worse than weak. Okay? So we leave it alone. I don't know what kind of a term that I should use in English. It can be one of this, like this. Okay. Hadith number 542 is munkar. We leave it alone. Next hadith 543, hadith is weak. 543. You leave it alone, the hadith is weak. Hadith number 544 by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. Hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhuma. So the hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira, that whosoever did while he's fasting and he ate or drank, okay, let him complete his fasting. Indeed Allah had provided him with the food or the drink. Okay? So that means, number one, we learn from this hadith, eating and drinking as a result of forgetfulness, it doesn't break the fast. That, if it happened, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this applies to the obligatory fasting as well as the optional fasting. Okay? That the hadith didn't make a difference between how much he ate. Is it a whole tub or 4 inches? Okay? Or he ate a whole meal and the dessert and the ice cream, and now while he took the toothpick and started to do this, remember. Doesn't matter, okay? We're about to look for one like this, eh? Inshallah, you get it in Ramadan and you remember that I said it, sure. Okay? So it tells this out of Allah's mercy, and we should accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also shows us the mercy of Allah and the easiness and the practicality of this deen. Okay? The best quality of this deen, because of human being who forget. Okay? And somebody being for the whole year eating, drinking, and after this, special the first few days, okay? Special after he play basketball, hopefully somebody will quit playing basketball. But if you have too much energy, you could not help it, you understand? So, and after they play for a half an hour or 1 hour and a half, they come running to the cooler and keep drinking, 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 and after this, I say, hey man, what are you doing? There's Ramadan. Say, oh! Okay? So alhamdulillah that Allah has mercy, okay? Dealing with a human being a human being, that he can forget, okay? وَلِلْحَاكِمْ مَنْ أَفْتَرَ فِي رَمَضَانِ مَا نَاسِيًا فَلَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا كَفَّارَهُ وَهُوَ صَحِيحٌ. The hadith is authentic, other narration which in collection of Imam al-Hakim, that whosoever breaks his fast in Ramadan while he's forgetting, no qada, no kafara, no expiation for him. Okay? He don't have to do anything. Okay? The difference between this and that, he made it specifically in Ramadan, because somebody will may think that this only applies to optional fasting. Okay? But even in Ramadan. Hadith number 545. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من زرعه القيء فلا قضاء عليه ومن استقى فعليه القضاء. رواه الخمسة وعله أحمد وقواه الدارقطني. And the hadith is authentic. Okay, I know that is written here in the book. Let me see what is the English. Reported by Al Khamsa Ahmad. Okay, I found it a defect. Okay, and this is the reason I don't go by the English here. I actually go looking in other sources and other references, which is more stronger than whosoever translated the book or brought this information. So my sources of information get it from others, especially from Sheikh Al-Albani Hafizahullah, concerning the authentication of the hadith. Okay? And this is one of the benefits that we have it in this class. Okay? So the hadith here says that it has defects, but the hadith is authentic, inshallah.
How can you tell whether
the
hadith is weak or is authentic?
Because there is there is expertise who go and study this, and they come with the conclusion to say this hadith is weak or hasan or good or authentic.
Like, could it be weak in the English translation and the...
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the English and the Arabic. Okay. Because the people who wrote this, they take it from the way how it's written in the Arabic and, okay? But that the people who defected the hadith, as example, in that time, they did not have enough information, they don't have enough resources, okay, to collect, to know, and to reach to other things. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, we have more access to the knowledge that you can bring, you understand, almost 100 books on a desk, what you call it in Slavic. Yeah. Okay, and you can look to everything.
Internet.
You can the whole thing. Now you can have a man have the whole library in a camel and still he don't have enough information. You see? So the access more to the books and to the knowledge and the history of the people had made things more easier on the scholars to go and study more and to know about things that was not available to the people before. It's okay. Jazakallah. It's okay. Okay? Because if you finish, he's going to take it. Alright? So it doesn't have anything to do with the English and the Arabic, okay? But the hadith is authentic. That whosoever throw up or vomiting, okay? Throw up or vomiting, or what is the other word? What is the third word? Huh? Puke? No, I'm looking for one more. Let me see how much English you know, guys, okay? All right, okay. MashaAllah, you have a dictionary in your house, huh? It's good. Okay, all right. Even Isra, no, okay. Good Isra. The first ever, let me see what word he used here. Said if one has sudden attack of vomiting. Okay. If anybody been attacked by vomiting, that means he has no choice, okay, and he has to throw up, okay, that he continues his fasting and nothing for him to do, okay? And whosoever do it intentionally to himself, okay, now this person has to make up for this day. Okay? There is a difference between you can force that your stomach, as example, or your system inside forced you that you could not help it and it came out of you. And there is a difference between you sticking your finger inside your mouth and just try to keep for it to come out. Okay? This is two different things. So if been attacked and been forced, I have no choice, that was no anything for you to do for it to come out, that you complete your fasting. You don't make up any days. But if you did this yourself, now you're going to have to make up a day instead of this day. Hadith 546, page 232, or page number 232. It depends if you're awake or you taking a nap. So which way you read it? 232 or page number 232. وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما. Did you find the page, brother? Brother, even he doesn't, like you say, he doesn't have even the right book. We study from Bulugh al-Maram and he has the al-Bukhari. So he's not even on the page, he's not even in the book. It happens sometimes, okay? Different time in different states. So وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج عام الفتح إلى مكة في رمضان فصام حتى بلغ قراء الغميم. قراء الغميم. فصام الناس ثم دعا بقدح من ماء فرفع حتى نظر الناس إليه ثم شرب فقيل له بعد ذلك إن بعض الناس قد صام فقال أولئك العصاة أولئك العصاة. This hadith which in the hadith is authentic. And there is another narration in collection of Imam Muslim, which is also authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in the year of opening Mecca, okay, the grand opening or taking over Mecca from the Mushrikeen, when he reached a station, a place called Qura al-Ghamim, and people were observing the fasting. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he ordered for like a small, like a jar. And he took it while everybody observing and watching, and he started drinking. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was giving indication to the people to break their fast. Later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been informed that some people are still fasting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, "Those are the disobedient ones. Those are the disobedient ones." As we understand from the manner of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he always used to lean towards Egypt and staying away from hardship and difficulty. And any time he given a choice between two affairs, he will choose the easiest one, as long as it's not haram. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt like hardship because it's a problem. Ramadan, fasting is hard. And he felt that it's too hardship for people to be observing fasting. So he tried to show them by his action to break the fast. He did not order them, you see, because it is permissible to fast. But he showed them that this is better. Okay? And even me, the Prophet, here I'm drinking to make it easier on them, for them to accept what he was doing. Okay? But some people, like, they felt that we remain fasting. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been in awe, he was not pleased with them. Okay? He was not pleased with them and said that those are the disobedient ones. And the other narration will explain this. فقيل له إن الناس قد شق عليهم الصيام وإنما ينتظرون فيما فعلت فدعا بقدح من ماء بعد العصر فشرب. You see? So that some people have told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people had, they are facing hardship and they waiting to see what you're going to do. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went and he drank in front of them, but this was almost time for Asr. Like somebody said, wow, I'm going to spoil them, there's only 2-3 hours left. Let me try to make it. Okay? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for what's more easier for the people. Okay? What is more beneficial for them. And that is no hardship to make in yourself, because Allah has given you rukhsah and give you permission, give you a break. That if you are a traveler, or in the fighting against the enemy, or all these things, that you have the permit, you have the permission to break your fast and make it up later on. Okay? But some people, they choose to remain fasting after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam breaking his fast. Hadith number, as I said, the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 547, وعن حمزة ابن عمرو الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال يا رسول الله إني أجد بي قوة على الصيام في السفر فهل علي جناح؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هي رخصة من الله فمن أخذ بها فحسن ومن أحب أن يصوم فلا جناح عليه رواه مسلم وأصله في المتفق عليه من حديث عائشة أن حمزة بن عمرو سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. But the hadith is authentic. That Amr al-Aslami, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Prophet of Allah, I'm a strong man. I can fast during my traveling. Is there any harm for me to fast? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is a permission, rukhsah, from Allah. Whosoever accepts Allah's permission, this is good. Excellent. And whosoever won't fast, no harm. Okay? No harm. So we understand from this hadith that if you choose to fast during your traveling, right, as long as you are healthy, not to choose to fast during your traveling and after this you'll be suffering and falling and getting dizzy and people calling the ambulance to you and all these things. If you have the strength to fast during the traveling and you choose to fast, it's acceptable. It is acceptable. But what is better? That you accept the charity of Allah, you accept the rukhsah, the permission of Allah. This will be better. Because the hadith for ذلك حسن. But if you choose the other, it's acceptable. So there is a difference between acceptable and حسن. And we say this only for a person that he is healthy, that he can fast. That his fasting will be acceptable from him during his problem. But don't go fast and after this deal, you'll be getting dizzy.
So, it's okay to break your fast when you travel. If you're healthy, you shouldn't break them.
No, even if you're healthy. Okay. Even if you're healthy, okay, and you choose to break your fast during your traveling, this is better, but you still have to make it up later on, after Ramadan.
Okay.
Yeah. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 548. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رخص للشيخ الكبير أن يفطر ويطعم عن كل يوم مسكينة ولا قضاء عليه. Hadith is authentic. It is permitted to the old man to break his fast and to make up for this breaking of the fast by feeding a poor person for each day that he breaks and no qada for him. Because you know, an old man who is getting older every day is not like a sick person that today you're sick, tomorrow you may get better. So an old person who is getting older every day, he doesn't get younger. So for the old person, what is his condition? To break his fast. And to make up for this, how? By feeding a poor person for every day that he break his fast. A question came concerning a person, he may have a wet dream while he was fasting. That means he went to sleep, take a nap, or after he prayed Fajr, he or she and went to sleep, and after this, they have a wet dream. Will this break their fast? No. Doesn't break their fast. You have no control over things like this, okay? So doesn't break your fast. So this is rukhsa. Again, what is rukhsa? It's a permission, permit. It's like a license, okay? That is allowed for you to do. For who? For the old man. To do what? To break the fast of Ramadan. And to do what? For every day that he breaks fast, he will do what? He will feed a poor person. Alright? No, we give it first to the Muslim. We start with the Muslims. If there is no Muslims, okay, now if there is a needy person in the community, that is not Muslim. Okay? Yeah.
How do you consider yourself an old man?
That the fasting will harm you, that you could not make it.
Wait a while, you'll find
out. Okay? That when you could not, an old man is not by age. Okay, age play a role in it, but some people, mashallah, 65 years old and they're still kicking, okay? They're going back and jogging, going all pandemic, alright? And these people understand he can tell if he's old or not. But age is part of it. But how is your health as a result of being old person, okay? Old person.
People that
are 40
that age quickly.
Like myself, yeah.
I mean, I didn't say that now.
Okay. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هلكت يا رسول الله قال وما أهلكت قال وقعت على امرأتي في رمضان فقال هل تجد ما تعتق رقبة؟ قال لا. قال فهل تستطيع أن تصوم شهرين متتابعين؟ قال لا. قال فهل تجد ما تطعم 60 مسكينا؟ قال لا. ثم جلس فأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعرق فيه تمر فقال تصدق بهذا. فقال أعلي أفقر منه؟ فما بين لبتيها أهل بيتي أحوج إليه منه. فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بدت أنيابه ثم قال اذهب فأطعمه أهلك. طبعا السبعة هو لفظ المسلم في حديث is authentic reported by أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, destruction happened to me. He said, what happened? He said that I have intercourse with my wife during Ramadan. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked him if he have a slave to free as expiation and forgiveness for what he did. He said, no Prophet of Allah, I don't. He said, can you fast 2 months continuously, that means without break, only for Maghrib you break your fast, but you make 2 months, 60 days, non-stop. He said, no Prophet of Allah. He said, do you have the means to feed 64 people? He said, no Prophet of Allah. So we understand that this is the order of making up for this mistake. Alright? That number one, to free a slave. If you could not, fasting 2 months continuously. If you could not, would be 60 days. Feeding 64 people. But this man, he could not do any of this. So, he sat there in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While later, little bit, somebody came with, I don't know what you call this big thing that, when in the palm tree that would be carry the dates, like the broom, it looked like a broom.
No.
You know, a bush. Huh?
A bushel of dates.
Yeah, a bushel of dates. Branch. Okay? Yes. Actually, we use this in our country, in the countryside. After they take it and they take the dates out of it, they use it for sweeping, like a broom. Okay? They use it like a broom. Huh?
Farm.
A farm? Yeah. So, you have the palm tree, okay, and you have this thing will be coming and carrying the dates in it, okay? So this man came with this date. Let's see what he says in English. Oh, he didn't translate it? Okay, so a man bought it and say, O Prophet of Allah, here this is a sadaqah, charity. So Rasulullah ﷺ gave it to the man who had slept with his wife during Ramadan and said, go and give it as a sadaqah to make up for your mistake. Say, O Prophet of Allah, do you think that anybody in this town who more poorer or more need than me? Because the man could not free a slave. He could not fast 2 months. He could not feed 60 people. And even when a volunteer charity came from somebody of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give it to him and said to him, go and give it to the poor people in your behalf to make up for your mistake. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, nobody is more need for this than me. I'm the poorest one in the whole community. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he laughed until his teeth, he can see it, okay? And he said, go ahead, take it and feed it to your family. Okay? SubhanAllah. This again shows us how this deen is the great blessing. That a person who doesn't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he relaxes the rules for him. So that means act according to what you got. Okay? Islam doesn't ask you go steal to make up for something. Or go kill yourself to be a believer. But work according your best, to the best. If this is the best that you can do, is accepted from you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 550, reported by Aisha and Umm Salama, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used كان يصبح جنبا من جماع ثم يغتسل ويصوم، متفق عليه. وزاد مسلم في حديث أم سلمة ولا يقضي. Okay, this hadith is authentic, reported by Aisha and Umm Salama, that the morning used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he still in Janaba. Janaba is a state of being, not say physically, but may you call it state of. No, but I want to say sexual impurity, but instead of saying this, I don't want for somebody to think it is a matter of physically. It's a state of impurity, but it's not physically, okay? That after the person has intercourse with his wife and he's supposed to take a shower, before he takes the shower, you call this person junub. It's a state of janaba, okay? So, if the person planning to fast and the morning came, the adhan of Fajr is called and the person is still junub, he didn't take a ghusl, it doesn't matter, this doesn't affect your fasting. You go ahead, as long as you took your sahur, it's fine, as long as you made your intention, it's fine, okay? The ghusl can be done later, okay? And in another narration that the Prophet didn't make up for this day. As example, you have an hour and a half before sunrise. So you woke up and Fajr is in half an hour. So now you got up, you take your ghusl and after this you make your salah. But Fajr is already in, that the fasting is started. This doesn't mean spoil your fast. As long as you have your intention before you go to sleep, it's acceptable. Okay? Will be acceptable. In the last hadith in page number 230, and حديث number 551 وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مات وعليه صيام صام عنه وليه، متفق عليه. Okay. من صام من مات وعليه صيام صام عنه وليه. This hadith reported by Aisha, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, the hadith is authentic, saying that if a person passed away, that means he died, and he owed Allah some fasting for whatever reason, that he was sick, he was traveling, as the man says, whatever it is reason, that he still did not make up or he owed some. So his wali, his guardian, or the people who act in his behalf, they must make up for this fasting. And from this we understand that this is like an exception, one of the exceptions, that it can be done in behalf of the dead person. Because all the deed you have to do is yourself. You get reward for what you do. But this one of the form of worship, that exception, that your wali or your guardian, your father, your parents, or your daughter, or your son, can do it in your behalf after your death. Especially if you had the intention to do it, and you've been surprised by death, and you died. So now if you know that this person owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a week, or 3 days, or whatever, you go ahead and do it in behalf of this dead person and will be beneficial for him inshallah. And we still have about 15 minutes in our class, but inshallah we give you a special discount tonight, give you a break, you can go home early, and because it's going to be a new chapter concerning the optional fasting and days which is forbidden to fast. This will be inshallah one class, and after this, one class more will be for i'tikaf, seclusion during Ramadan for in the masjid, especially for the last 10 days. And after this, we're going to have a break for Ramadan, inshallah. And this will, inshallah, after the next class, this will make our third album for Bulugh al-Maram, inshallah. So next class, will be the completion of the third album. We have album one outside in the market, alhamdulillah. Album two, inshallah, we're going to print it next week, which is going to be number 13 all the way to 24. And after this, inshallah, during Ramadan, we publish the album number 3, which will be from 24 until tape number 36, inshallah. Any question, any correction, any comments, sister? When your mother, inshallah, dies, okay, and she always days in Miktab. No. Okay? It looks to Tahrif one time more.
He
said, Man mada wa alayhi siyam. Okay, how has it been translated in English? I close my book that says. Okay, if anyone dies when some fast due from him has been unfulfilled, his seer must fast on his behalf. Okay? So as example, you don't go fast Monday and Thursday on behalf of my mother. But for, as example, your mother would say, and like the brother asked, how the person knows that? She knows that the person is sick. And Ramadan came, and she's supposed to be fasting Ramadan, but the last week she was sick, and she was taking medicine. So for sure you know that she was breaking her fast. So now you will go and fast these days in her behalf. Just for obligatory fasting that the deceased person owe to Allah. Obligatory. Okay? Any other question? Comments? Correction? If not? Yes.
If you don't know if they were sick, if you missed a good fast this one thing that should be written
or be informed to the people as example, you should write that you should write in something in paper that I'm not fasting or I owe Allah such a day. Or you can tell the people who's in your presence, okay, especially in the time of your sickness, your illness. You inform the people surrounded you that I didn't make you understand the last Ramadan or I owe a week in case you understand I didn't get out of the sickness, please do this and that. Yeah, Allah understands. Okay? So, brother, spend some of the money, man. Hey, you going to leave it there until get rotten? إِنَّمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْمَالِ لِإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the money for the establishment of the prayer and giving the zakah. And like we talked, I think with last class, we talked about a person giving charity to himself. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives somebody money or a blessing, he would like to see the result of it. So, hey man, who cares? Get you a car, get you even a driver, you see, until you be able to drive, and get you a phone. Why not? Brother, go to Hajj maximum will take a $5,000. Tell me about saving now, right? You took it to somebody who did, alhamdulillah, many, many, many hajj, okay? So then tell me, you don't need $100,000 to make hajj.
You don't?
No, brother. Let's assume even you're going to take your wife with you. This is maximum $10,000, okay? And if you want to go in first class aeroplane and everything first class, two people maximum, brother, would be like $15,000. You see? Inshallah. So, inshallah, see, brother, Omar or Khalid, someone of them who gives you the big deal about the telephone and see you next week and the same. Hey, what they can do, man. Alright? Inshallah. Any question? Any comments? Any correction? Jazakumullah khairan. And inshallah, don't forget to give the sister a couple of minutes to leave the class first. And after this, we leave. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Yeah.